What sort of morning do you have today?
This morning we have lots of fog on the water. I can barely see the island across the way. And we also were greeted this morning by one of the paddlers, John. His parents are driving from their old house in Tennessee up to Minneapolis, and they swung by with a big spread of breakfast food and some lunch snacks for us. So everyone's chowing down.
Oh, is that cool? So, but I bet they can't outdo those cinnamon buns.
Yeah. Yeah, they brought, we've had a big fix of donuts recently. None of us really eat donuts that often, but they taste so good out here.
I bet they do. So are you in or near a place called Louisiana, or was that a past stop?
That was yesterday. We were in Louisiana, or a previous night.
So that's Louisiana in what state?
Missouri.
Missouri. Did you see anything of it? I didn't know about Louisiana, Missouri.
Yeah, we arrived there, and three of the paddlers actually took off in a friend's car to go to a barge bash, which was something we were hoping to be able to paddle to, but it was just too far out of our reach. So three people left as soon as we showed up to camp to attend that. They are part of the Wild River Academy and are the founders of that organization, which this trip is under. And the rest of us cooked dinner underneath the boat club in the town of Louisiana and had some good shelter there. And a few of us went into town later that night to get some groceries and check it out. And we ended up going to a local haunted house put on by some teenagers and younger kids for the fire department. And we made friends with some of the members of the boat club who were playing cards. And two of us played euchre for a little while with two of the men upstairs in the boat club.
So were there interesting anecdotes that came out of that?
Yeah, they're definitely interesting, and each person has a different story to tell, and sometimes they overlap with what we've heard before. So when I played euchre with Tim and Todd, Tim is a wildlife biologist, and he was explaining how the Army Corps of Engineers will tell the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service what they want done on the Mississippi River, and then the Fish and Wildlife Service will divvy that up amongst the states along the river. So there's the upper Mississippi, which is Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, and Missouri. And then the lower Mississippi is south of Illinois. And each of those five states in the upper Mississippi then have the discretion of what is done along their border of the Mississippi River. And this man in particular, Tim, was in charge of 86 islands in a stretch along Missouri. And he worked with the Fish and Wildlife Service and the state of Missouri to help restore islands for wildlife habitat after the channel continues to be dredged. And they work in backwater parts of the river where the water is much more calmer and there's not much current to restore habitat for animals.
I mean, I think a lot of people wouldn't even think about the number of islands that you're experiencing or at least seeing along the way as you paddle on the Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oftentimes I don't feel like I'm on a river and instead we're paddling on a long, narrow, well, pretty wide, but relatively narrow lake with lots and lots of islands.
Talk about the barge bash, what it's about. And didn't you say a group called One Mississippi is about, again, you know, pulling together the stories, concerns, mm-hmm. and perspectives on the river?
Yeah. So One Mississippi has a bunch of interns who live along the river, the whole entire stretch of it from Minneapolis all the way to New Orleans. And their main mission is to unite other organizations, whether it's a paddling club or an environmental organization or a conservation group related to the Mississippi River and the watershed. They unite those entities so that they can collaborate and know what other people are doing with probably similar efforts towards the Mississippi River. And so this barge bash was a man named Chad who, I think around 12 years ago, he started traveling up and down the Mississippi River on this big barge. So just like the barges we see carrying grain or coal, he has a barge that collects trash. And so on the barges, there's lots of different trash from the river, and he lives on the boat with his wife. and they had a band playing at the Barge Bash, all on recycled instruments, and just a lot of different people coming together to for a common cause of improving the state of the Mississippi River.
So Chad's mission to, you know, pick up trash is a volunteer one, right? It's not some sort of a, you know, it's just that.
I think so.
Uh-huh.
He does a lot of different programs with school groups and definitely a lot of volunteering to clean up the river.
Very cool. Well, maybe I'll read up a little bit more on One Mississippi. So did you stop, you know, before this stop, did you stop in Hannibal or not?
Yes, we stayed in Hannibal. And when we showed up to Hannibal, a few people went out to watch the Packer game and get some food. And two others went to a Mark Twain museum and learned about a ghost tour of the town. So they went on the ghost tour and were offered to stay in the Pettibone Mansion, which was most recently a nursing home. And we moved camp so that we could go to the mansion later at night around 9 o'clock and showed up to this house thanks to Lisa. And she gave us a tour of this place that had many bathrooms, lots of bedrooms. And we it was a deluxe place to spend the night and take some showers and do a little laundry.
Yeah.
And something... this is maybe something you would or definitely cut out, but I went to a wedding this weekend, so I wasn't there. And I don't know much about what happened over the weekend, but.
So I'm interested in this. So did you fly out somewhere?
No, a friend of mine came to pick me up. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to go to the wedding, and she said, I promise I'll pick you up anywhere on the river and then I'll drop you off. And so that's what she did. And we drove to Des Moines, which is where the wedding was.
Oh, my gosh. So how...
I'm not up to speed with what happened in Hannibal a whole lot or what the history of Mark Twain is.
This trashes the whole series. No, just kidding. She left. She abandoned the river. Must have been...
I jumped ship.
Must have been a good friend.
Yeah. She's a camp friend. And there were four of us that went to the wedding. And two people flew in. And then this friend, Laura... drove from Chicago and met us on the river. And she met me in Montrose, Iowa, where we stayed at the Heritage Center in this small town of about 700 people. And actually, the way we showed up to Montrose, we were hoping to get there earlier because we knew there was going to be a big crowd waiting for us. But it turned out we had a headwind, and so we didn't get there until after dark. And the people who were waiting for us told us to look for lights on the shore. We saw some big lights, so we headed towards those, and we realized that's probably not right. We called them again, and they said, look for the headlamps, or the headlights that are flashing. And so we had high beams shining on us as we paddled to shore. And we showed up, and there were about 30 people on shore waiting for us. And some of them were students from a middle school class. Four girls waited with their teacher for us to arrive. And they had a display case of all the students' work from the assignments that they have related to paddle forward. So they drew pictures of animals that they've seen on the Mississippi River and wrote stories and poems about the river. And it was really neat to see their classwork on display in response to our blog questions and following our trip.
So it's working.
Yeah, it is.
So that was Montrose, right?
Yeah.
And where did this school group come from? There locally or where?
They're locally. The town is small enough that they don't have a school in the town of Montrose. And so there's two other towns nearby, and the school is centrally located between those three small towns.
So other than spending time with the school group, did you do anything else significant in Montrose?
Yeah, we went to a museum right next to the Heritage Center where we slept inside and ate delicious food with all of our big fans in Montrose. And they showed us an old lathe that was used in a button factory to cut buttons out of mussels that were harvested in the Mississippi River. And so the lathe was in operation and was restored by this man who was demonstrating how to use it. And we got to see all sorts of buttons that were made and hold a raw button that he had cut right in front of us on the lathe.
Wow, something you'd probably never seen before.
No.
Or many people wouldn't see before or ever. Yeah. That's very cool. So I was going to ask you at whether you had any sort of Halloween.
No, we haven't had much celebration, but we're shooting. We're going to have a big paddle today so that we can be in St. Louis on Halloween Day.
And just see what happens, or do you have something planned?
We have a few people that we will be meeting up with. We also have an exciting food pickup. A lot of food was donated from an organization or a company called Woodland Foods out of Chicago, and they donated a lot of really fancy and deluxe dehydrated food for us.
So you're going back to the kind of food you were eating at the beginning?
Yeah, a little bit. We'll still cook our own foods, but everything we're getting from them is dehydrated. We have 5 pounds of broccoli flakes to look forward to.
Now, Burlington was one place that you were looking forward to stopping. That was just after we talked last week, I guess.
Yeah. It was in Iowa, and we were hoping to make it to Burlington because we had lined up with a man named Steve Brower, who is an avid Aldo Leopold follower and super knowledgeable about Aldo Leopold and his life and his work. And he and a friend, Jerry, we weren't able to make it to Burlington, so they drove to the lock where we were camping, just maybe 10 river miles north of Burlington, which is Aldo Leopold's hometown. And he shared a lot of different knowledge with us and talked about Leopold. And what Steve does now is he has an outdoor classroom in the Burlington area for students to use. And it's inspired by Leopold and how Leopold believed in land ethics and using the land as a part of your community rather than as a commodity. And he talked about how important it is for children and adults, everyone, to be surprised in nature and to just get out, whether it's in a park or during recess or hiking on a trail, to just be surprised by nature and discover and search.
So has Aldo Leopold been an influence in your years as a evolving naturalist, let's say explorer, or is he newer to your vocabulary?
I'm familiar with Aldo Leopold, and I read the Sand County Almanac. We actually have that book with us on the trip, so we've been reading it aloud some days in the canoes. Yeah, I'm familiar with Aldo Leopold and have visited the education center that's outside of Madison, Wisconsin, in Baraboo. He's definitely a hero and someone that I like to read about and learn about for all the good work that he did.
Do you feel this trip influencing your vision, Martha, of what you, I know you have plans to make Minneapolis or the Twin Cities your base, at least for the foreseeable future. But is this trip influencing your vision of what you want to take on with time?
Definitely. It's very inspiring, and I'm grateful for the amount of time I have each day to put a lot of thought into whatever I want while I'm paddling. And I've been putting a lot of thought into the idea of adventure learning, which is a concept we keep revisiting on this trip. And so the idea of adventure learning, I can't remember if I've explained this before, but it is a way of learning and educating people through vicarious education. So if someone or a group of people go on an adventure and they're able to blog about it and share what they are learning on the adventure with others who might not be able to go on that adventure or be there physically, not only are the people on the adventure learning, but those who follow them learn as well. And so people like Will Steger, who explores in the Arctic, has programs set up for students to be as interactive and engaged with the adventurists as much as they can. They can maximize who is learning from one person's adventure. I think it's another form of education that
absolutely
could be developed more and more in many places.
Absolutely.
And in many ways. And even the Mississippi River is an excellent adventure to go on because there's so many different aspects of it. There's music. You could do it one whole trip all about the music on the Mississippi River and history of different genres of music blending together. Or it could be more focused on water quality and hydrology and watershed science. So Wild River Academy hopes to have more trips down the Mississippi River and other rivers as well that are similar to this trip, and that students and followers will be able to learn through the people paddling the river.
Last night when we texted, you mentioned that you were actually at the moment paddling. You wrote on rain, but I assumed you meant in rain.
Correct.
So it was kind of a nasty one?
Mm-hmm. Yesterday we paddled in the rain, and it was a misty day for most of the day. And then late at night, we arrived at camp in the dark, and then it rained while we were cooking dinner and as we went to bed around 9 o'clock. But it's not raining this morning. It's definitely very foggy. I think it's getting a little foggier as we speak.
So, Martha, the expectation is that you'll have about 4 more weeks of this expedition?
Yes, we think we will be arriving in New Orleans right around Thanksgiving. We're on a good track for that to happen.
Yeah. And so 4 more weeks. Anything you miss about the creature comforts of home or wherever, you know, of not being on the river? Or you're having too much fun?
It's pretty fun.
So cool. I enjoy talking to you as always, and I'll see you. Anything you want to give a little tease on what's coming up, although I think you did, what you've got unfolding ahead of you?
Yeah, we are staying with Big Muddy Mike tonight, and we have about a 40-mile paddle to get to his place. He's someone from the Barge Bash, and familiar. He's going to take us down through some rapids right outside of St. Louis on a raft, I believe. And then after that, we'll be paddling past St. Louis probably Saturday.
And then that's where you anticipate the river widening and deepening and becoming a new animal, I guess.
Yeah, no more locks and dams to go through. We've heard it becomes more marshy.